Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, May 29th, 2022, Romans.
One announcement before we get started this morning. There will be a teachers meeting after the after the second class. There will be a teachers meeting, big classroom over here. Got it? All right. Notice this one doesn't say a short teachers meeting, so if you're if you're tall, you can still make it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. We are in the great parenthesis of Romans 4, verses 17 to 21. Romans chapter 4. In preparation to worship our Lord, it is our custom to spend the first few moments in silent prayer. This gives you the privacy of your priesthood, gives you the opportunity of examining your own soul, making sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day. 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. And now you can do a right thing. Worship the Lord the right way by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom that you've given to us in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, this is a true holiday in America, Memorial Weekend. And when I came here over 44 years ago, I always wanted to honor the men who represent the freedom of why we can come and assemble and worship our Lord Jesus Christ. And I have been reading from the Congressional Medal of Honor winners. I've been going through this for 44 years. And I think probably when I get done with this, the Lord will take me to heaven. That's what I want to honor this morning three men. The first one is Joseph J. Sacchetti, Private First Class, U.S. Army, Company A, 148th Infantry, 37th Infantry Division. This was in South Manila, Luzon, Philippine Islands, 9 February 1945. His citation reads, he was with troops assaulting the first important line of enemy defenses. The Japanese had converted the partially destroyed Manila gas works and adjacent buildings into a formidable system of mutually supporting strong points from which they were concentrating machine gun, mortar, and heavy artillery fire on the American forces. Casualties rapidly mounted, and the medical aid men, finding it increasingly difficult to evacuate the wounded, called for volunteer litter bearers. Private First Class Sacchetti immediately responded, organized a litter team, and skillfully led it for more than 4 hours in rescuing 14 wounded men, constantly passing back and forth over a 400-yard route, which was the impact area for a tremendous volume of the most intense enemy fire. On one return trip, the path was blocked by machine gun fire, but Private First Class Sacchetti deliberately exposed himself to draw the automatic fire, which he then neutralized with his own rifle, while ordering the rest of the team to rush past to safety with the wounded. While gallantly continuing his work, he noticed a group of wounded and helpless soldiers some distance away, and he ran to their rescue. Although the enemy fire had increased to a new fury, as he approached the casualties, he was struck in the head by a shell fragment. But with complete disregard for his gaping wound, he continued to his comrades, lifted one of them up, and carried him on his shoulders 50 yards to safety. He then collapsed and he died. By his skilled leadership, indomitable will, dauntless courage, Private First Class Sacchetti saved the lives of many of his fellow soldiers at the cost of his own. For this, he was posthumously awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor. Also like to recognize this morning Francis J. Clark, Tech Sergeant, U.S. Army, Company K, 109th Infantry, 28th Infantry Division, near Calborn, Luxembourg, 12 September 1944, and also Sevenig, Germany, 17 September 1944. His citation reads, he fought gallantly in Luxembourg and Germany. On 12 September 1944, Company K began fording the Our River near Calborn, Luxembourg, to take high ground on the opposite bank. Covered by early morning fog, the 3rd Platoon, in which Tech Sergeant Clark was squad leader, successfully negotiated the crossing. But when the 2nd Platoon reached the shore, withering automatic and small arms fire ripped into it, killing the platoon leader and platoon sergeant, and pinning down the troops in the open. From his comparatively safe position, Tech Sergeant Clark crawled alone across a field through a hail of bullets to the stricken troops. He led the platoon to safety and then unhesitatingly returned into the fire-swept area to rescue a wounded soldier, carrying him to the American line, while hostile gunners tried to cut him down. Later, he led his squad and men of the 2nd Platoon in dangerous sorties against strong enemy positions to weaken them by lightning-like jabs. He assaulted an enemy machine gun with hand grenades, killing 2 Germans. He roamed the front and flanks, dashing toward hostile weapons, killing and wounding an undetermined number of the enemy, scattering German patrols, and eventually forcing the withdrawal of a full company of German heavily armed with automatic weapons. On 17 September, near Sevenick, Germany, he advanced alone against an enemy machine gun, killed the gunner, and forced the assailant to flee. The Germans counterattacked, and heavy casualties were suffered by Company K. Seeing that 2 platoons lacked leadership, Tech Sergeant Clark took over their command and moved among the men to give encouragement. Although wounded on the morning of 18 September, he refused to be evacuated and took up a position in a pillbox when night came. Emerging at daybreak, he killed a German soldier setting up a machine gun not more than 5 yards away. When he located another enemy gun, he moved up unobserved and killed 2 Germans with rifle fire. Later that day, he voluntarily braved small armed fire to take food and water to members of an isolated platoon. Tech Sergeant Clark's actions in assuming command when leadership was desperately needed, in launching attacks and beating off counterattacks, in aiding his stranded comrades, and in fearlessly facing powerful enemy fire, were strikingly heroic examples and put fighting heart into the hard-pressed men of Company K. For this, he was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor. I would like to also recognize this morning Mike Colalio, Private First Class, U.S. Army Company C, 398th Infantry, 100th Infantry Division, near Untergriesheim, Germany, 7 April 1945. His citation reads, "He was pinned down with other members of his company during an attack against strong enemy positions in the vicinity of Untergriesheim, Germany. Heavy artillery, mortar, and machine gun fire made any move hazardous. When he stood up, shouted to the company to follow him, and ran forward in the wake of a supporting tank firing his machine pistol. Inspired by his example, his comrades advanced in the face of savage enemy fire. When his weapon was struck by shrapnel and rendered useless, he climbed to the deck of a friendly tank, manned an exposed machine gun on the turret of the vehicle, and while bullets rattled about him, fired at an enemy emplacement with such devastating accuracy that he killed and wounded at least 10 hostile soldiers and destroyed their machine gun. Maintaining his extremely dangerous post as the tank forged ahead, he blasted 3 more positions, destroyed another machine gun emplacement, and silenced all resistance in his area, killing at least 3 and wounding an undetermined number of riflemen as they fled. His machine gun eventually jammed, so he secured a submachine gun from the tank crew to continue his attack on foot. When our armored forces exhausted their ammunition and the order to withdraw was given, he remained behind to help a seriously wounded comrade over several hundred yards of open terrain, rocked by intense enemy artillery and mortar barrage. By his intrepidity and inspiring courage, Private First Class Colalio gave tremendous impetus to his company's attack, killed or wounded 25 of the enemy in bitter fighting, and assisted a wounded soldier in reaching the American lines at great risk to his own life. And for this, he was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor. I hope you take the time to appreciate the visible heroes of our great nation, the men serving in the military. You are free this morning to assemble in Upland Bible Church to worship the living and true God because of visible heroes like these. Some gave the supreme sacrifice. They gave their life. Others fought brilliantly so that we might have the freedom we have today. I know you get to Memorial Weekend and people start thinking, I passed pickups pulling boats. Memorial Weekend means go to the lake. I don't know why you want to go to Lake Mead. The water's so low. You get stuck on a sandbar, or the wind will be blowing hard enough to... It's awful hard to fish or ski on Lake Mead right now. But that's not what Memorial Weekend is about. It's about freedom. And that flag stands for freedom. And right now in this country, we still have that freedom. Appreciate it. Appreciate it, enjoy it, take advantage of it, exploit it. You still have freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one. Take advantage of it. Continue your advance. Continue to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. This is the most important thing you will ever do in this life. What we do today in two classes, and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. Romans chapter 4, let's start at verse 16. For this reason, salvation is by means of faith in Jesus Christ, in order that it might be according to the norms and standards of grace, so that the promise of salvation might be guaranteed to all the spiritual sons of Abraham, not only to the ones who are of the law, that is, Jews who believe in Jesus Christ, but also to the ones who are of the faith of Abraham, Gentile, who believe in Jesus Christ. He, Abraham, is the pattern of salvation for all of us, for Jews and Gentiles. Now at that point, that's the conclusion. That conclusion will be finished in verse 22. But in between verses 17 to 21, we have the great parenthesis. Now up to this point, Abraham has been emphasized as the pattern for salvation. Now in the great parenthesis, Abraham is going to be emphasized as the pattern for spiritual maturity. Now in this paragraph, Abraham is a spiritually mature believer. And as a spiritually mature believer, God is pouring out on Abraham greater grace blessings. Now I want you to get a hold of this. God has greater grace blessings for all of you. He established them for you in eternity past before you were even here. Special greater grace blessings designed just for you. God knows what tickles your fancy. And He has special greater grace blessings for each one of you. And if you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, then those greater grace blessings will be poured out on you right here in the middle of the devil's world in time, and then poured out on you at the judgment seat of Christ to glorify God forever and ever and ever for all eternity. Now, they're different for each one of you. Greater grace blessings he has for Jerry Cahoon is different than the greater grace blessing for Tyrone, different from the greater grace blessing he has for me. And I've seen those. I've seen those and enjoyed those already in my life, and it's absolutely spectacular. But the greater grace blessings he has for me are different than the greater grace blessings he has for you. But you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. You grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. He will pour out those greater grace blessings on you in time, right in the middle of the devil's world, no matter what's going on in America or what's going on around the world or what's going on in Nevada or Las Vegas. And so this great parenthesis is very important as we look at Abraham now as a spiritually mature believer. And we exegeted verse 17, and it sounds like this: as it stands written. And now there's Paul is quoting from Genesis chapter 17, verse 5. I have made you, Abraham, a father of many nations. Greater grace blessing package. The father of many nations. Now when he pours out these greater grace blessings, Abraham has been unable to have children for 13 years. He's dead sexually. He's sexually dead. And now he's 99 years old, and God gives him a promise. You're going to be the father of many nations. And he's 99 years old. He's been dead sexually. Can't have children for 13 years. His wife Sarah's past the menopause. She's dead sexually. They're both dead sexually. They're living physically, but they're both dead sexually. And God promises them, Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. Phenomenal greater grace blessings to Abraham. Before the Lord, whom he, Abraham, believed. Maximum faith, rest, life. And that was spirituality in the Old Testament. There was no universal indwelling of the Spirit or filling of the Spirit in the Old Testament. Spirituality was the faith, rest, life. And Abraham had maximum faith, rest, function. Before the Lord, whom he, Abraham, believed, maximum faith, rest. Even God, who gave life to the sexually dead ones, both Abraham and Sarah, and has called what did not exist, their sexual life did not exist, as now existing. And we closed last Sunday with 4 points. Right, Gary Brown?
Correct, sir.
And by the way, stand up, Gary. This is Memorial Weekend. He's got his uniform on. And we ought to honor him for wearing this uniform. This is what Memorial Weekend's all about. Thank you for serving, and thank you for wearing your uniform. And you know, he always knows exactly where we are. See, I call on him just to, and by the way, you get extra crowns and reward for knowing. Point one, we had Abraham and Sarah are both spiritually mature believers. They both love the Lord Jesus Christ. They're both occupied with Jesus Christ. They're both living the faith rest life. They're both winner believers. Two, they are both in a totally helpless and hopeless situation. They are in sexual death. By the way, in the Bible, the word for death is thanatos. But it's you. There's 8 different categories of death in the Scriptures. And we'll be noting that. This is one of the categories. And I remember I went to the service when the men ordination service at Baraka Church, when I wasn't being ordained that year, but there were about 13 guys being ordained at Baraka, and a lot of them were my buddies and my friends, and I wanted to go and I wanted to witness this ordination service and see what was going on, because I knew that I was going to be in that position shortly. And the colonel sat down. I love it when he sat down. He says, "Get everything out of the way. I want to get a clear shot of look at these guys." And then he started asking questions, each one a theological question, and they'd answer, and theological question, they'd answer. Well, he came and he says, "All right, the doctrine of death." He says, "There are 8 different categories of death. All right, you, on this end, you pick a category of death and define it for me from the scriptures." And he did. Went to the next one, and he did. Went to the next one, and he did. And then he came to Herman. "Herman, give me a category of death in the Bible." He says, "Colonel, it's the one I fear the most. Sexual death." And believe me, everybody in Baraka is falling out of their chair. So they are both totally helpless and hopeless situation, sexual death, and it's impossible for them to have children. 3, God has promised them that they will both be made sexually alive, be able to procreate and have children. 4, as believers in spiritual maturity, God and the promise of His Word, His promises, His Word is more real to them than their impossible circumstances and situation. And they're recorded even in the New Testament, in the chapter of the Old Testament heroes, and that's Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, you have a whole chapter of winner believers, spiritually mature believers. And in verses 11 and 12, we have Abraham and Sarah. Hebrews 11, 11 and 12. And every time it begins with these heroes in the Old Testament, it says, "by faith." Now the word is pistis, and pistis can mean faithful. It can mean the act of faith, such as faith in Christ or faith rest life. But it can also mean the body of faith, that which is believed, which is the Word of God. And in each one of these, with these heroes of the Old Testament, it's always emphasizing the body of faith. A maximum amount of the Word of God in their heart that resulted in them reaching spiritual maturity. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him, God, faithful, who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, sexual death, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. So here we have this spiritually mature believer, this great Old Testament hero mentioned in the New Testament as well. That brings us to point 5. Point 5, as spiritually mature believers, they have total confidence in the grace and in the power of God. You see, the winner believer knows that he doesn't deserve anything from God. He doesn't deserve even one blessing. And that all that he has and all that he is because of the grace and power of God. Every winner believer understands that. God is everything and we are nothing. So here they are, spiritually mature believers. And as a result, they have total confidence in the grace and in the power of God to do what He said He was going to do. Six, as you grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, God becomes more real to you than the problems and circumstances of life. As you grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, God becomes more real to you than the problems and the circumstances of life. Seven, when Abraham and Sarah reached spiritual maturity, God spoke and gave them this fantastic promise, which presented His greater grace blessings to them. Very special. It was special to Abraham and Sarah. And the greater grace blessings to Abraham and Sarah will not be the same as for any of you. And I know a lot of you, you don't want to have children at 99. And you're saying, amen, I don't want to. Thank God it's a different branch, a different group of blessings here. But as you grow up in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, God becomes more real to you than the problems and circumstances of life. So when Abraham and Sarah reached spiritual maturity, God spoke and gave them this fantastic promise. Eight, God promised them the full recovery of their powers of procreation. God promised them the full recovery of their powers of procreation. Nine, this resulted in fantastic sexual prosperity and Abraham becoming the father of many nations. This resulted in fantastic sexual prosperity and Abraham becoming the father of many nations. And we're going all throughout this great parenthesis, verses 17 to 21, it's going to be focusing on Abraham as a spiritually mature believer, a winner believer, and the pattern for spiritual maturity and greater grace blessing. But before we go on, so that in case I have a examination here and I say, all right, Cliff Abbott, give me a category of death. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that, because if I do that, he might go into one of the categories, physical death, cardiac arrest right there. We don't want that to happen. Because then I'd have to give mouth to mouth, and I don't want to do that. That ain't going to happen either. Jerry Cahoon, he can do it. The word is Thanatos, T-H-A-N-A-T-O-S, Thanatos, translated death. And that's all you have in the passages throughout the New Testament scriptures, the word death. It doesn't tell you, the context tells you what category of death it is. There are eight categories of death in the scriptures. So let's go through these. Category number one, start out with spiritual death, because that's how, when we come into the world, when you're born, physical birth, there are two real imputations. Human life imputed to the soul, you're born physically alive. Adam's original sin imputed to the genetically formed old sin nature, you're born spiritually dead. Two real imputations. At the moment of physical birth, we're born physically alive, but in the status of spiritual death. Right at the moment of birth, we're born spiritually dead. Now, a result of that down the road is personal sin. But that's a result of spiritual death. So here, category one, spiritual death of the human race. One, the origin of spiritual death was the original sin of Adam in the garden. Turn over to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. The origin of spiritual death was the original sin of Adam, a man, the first man, Adam, Adam, in the garden. 1 John 2. In 1 John 2, you have the Lord Jesus Christ creating the first man. The first man was called Adam. That's the perfect name for him. The body was made from Adama, the dust of the ground. And so if you want to name your child Adam, you're just calling him Dirt for a nickname. See? Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground, Adama, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, Neshama, the spark of life, and the man became a living soul. Verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, mandates, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of that tree, it says in the Hebrew, dying, you will die. Dying instantly. As soon as you eat from that tree, you will die spiritually. You're now in spiritual death, and as a result, you will eventually die physically. But dying, you will die. And so, he had the mandate from the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew exactly what he was doing. The woman was deceived by the serpent, and then she gave, and by the way, it was the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It wasn't an apple tree. The poor apples. It was not an apple tree. State of Washington, the apples stay up there. So I was sitting in my doctor's office. I could hear them in the next room, and they were talking about the Bible. And he said, well, you know, Adam ate the apple in the garden. And I'm in the next room going, he didn't eat any apple in the garden. I didn't yell that out, but inside I go, boy, does he need Bible doctrine, I tell you. So, man was created in perfection and innocence, and spiritual death was the penalty of disobedience to the mandate God gave to him. Two, spiritual death was imposed at the fall of man in the garden and perpetuated in the human race at physical birth. Spiritual death was imposed at the fall of man in the garden and perpetuated in the human race at physical birth. Three, so spiritual death occurs at the moment of physical birth. The moment we were born, spiritual death occurs at that. Two real imputations. Human life to the soul, Adam's original sin to the genetically formed sin nature. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. I'm already way past Romans 5:12, in my personal study, but we're going to get there. Romans 5:12, therefore, just as through one man, Adam, Sin, in the singular, the sin nature entered into the world, and death, thanatos, spiritual death, through that sin nature, and so death spread to all men because all sinned when Adam sinned. Seminally, we were in Adam when he sinned. Four, spiritual death is perpetuated in the human race through physical birth. Spiritual death is perpetuated in the human race through physical birth. Five, there are two categories of spiritual death, real spiritual death and substitutionary spiritual death. Real spiritual death, this was the actual spiritual death of Adam, who made the decision for the entire human race. We are all really spiritually dead at the moment of physical birth. Real spiritual death. Substitutionary spiritual death, that occurred on the cross when our Lord bore our sins in His own body as our substitute. Our sins were imputed to Christ as our substitute. 1 Peter 2:24, 1 Peter 3:18, 2 Corinthians 5:21, Isaiah 53:6, Romans 5:8. So there are two categories of spiritual death. Real spiritual death, the actual spiritual death of Adam, who made the decision for the entire human race. And we are all spiritually dead at the moment of physical birth. And substitutionary spiritual death, our sins were imputed to Jesus Christ on the cross as our substitute. Point six, the solution to spiritual death is stated in Romans 6:23. The solution to spiritual death is stated in Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is spiritual death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the solution to spiritual death, Romans 6:23. We obtain spiritual death at the moment of physical birth. Spiritual death is resolved at the moment of spiritual birth, regeneration, being born again through faith in Jesus Christ. That solves the problem of spiritual death. Seven, spiritual death is the subject of 1 Corinthians 15:22. Spiritual death is the subject of 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam all die, spiritual death, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Eight, spiritual death means that at physical birth, man is born dichotomous. We come into the world with a body and a soul, but no human spirit. We come into the world in spiritual death. So spiritual death means that at physical birth, man is born dichotomous. We come into the world with a body and a soul, but we're spiritually dead, no human spirit. Let's amplify that a little bit. One, this means we cannot understand the gospel or anything about God apart from the grace and power of God. And God in His grace and power provides the common grace ministry of God the Holy Spirit, which I think is a fantastic grace ministry, not a common grace ministry. Every time the gospel's given, God the Holy Spirit makes the gospel real to the unbeliever, gives him the opportunity to place his faith in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. And that is the grace of God. So spiritual death means that at physical birth, man is born dichotomous. He has a body and a soul, but no human spirit. And this means we cannot understand the gospel or anything about God apart from the grace and power of God. Two, spiritual death means the status of total depravity. Spiritual death means man is in a status of total depravity. Three, spiritual death means total separation from God. Total separation from God. A tremendous chasm between God and man. And we are totally helpless to do anything about it apart from the grace and power of God. Four, The common grace ministry of God the Holy Spirit enables man to understand the gospel and to place his faith in Jesus Christ. When you heard the gospel, God the Holy Spirit worked in your heart, turned the light on so you could see Jesus Christ, see the grace gospel, understand the issue that by simply believing in Christ, you are born again. You have the gift of eternal life, God's imputed righteousness, and eternal salvation. So the common grace ministry of God the Holy Spirit enables man to understand the gospel. 5, the efficacious grace ministry of God the Holy Spirit takes the believer's faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, and makes it effective for eternal salvation. The efficacious grace ministry of God the Holy Spirit takes the believer's faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, and makes it effective for eternal salvation. So there are 8 categories of death in the Bible. Category number 1, spiritual death. All right, well, we'll take a break and come back in about 15 minutes for part 2, and we'll take up category number 2. All right.